So you're quite the hero, Mr. Sketty. The man addressing me in a soft Edinburgh accent is Dr. Ralph Teller, a short, round individual of about 70, who reminds me in appearance of Richard Attenborough, the owner of Jurassic Park in the original movie, and the one responsible for all those dinosaurs running loose and misbehaving. Dr. Teller has a surprisingly cheerful demeanour, considering that he suffers from an advanced and degenerative form of multiple sclerosis, which has left him permanently confined to a wheelchair and will, in his own words, finish him off for good before too long. Right now, we're sitting opposite each other in the room he calls his snug, although it's at least as big as my living room at home. A log fire burns enthusiastically in the grate, casting shadows across the pitted stone walls, while outside the window, cold December rain lashes down. "I can promise you, Dr. Teller," I tell him, "I would have preferred not to have been a hero. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time." "The bravest men are often the most reluctant to participate in the fray," he says sagely, taking a sip from his whiskey, and I get the feeling that this is a phrase he's just made up, and that he makes up a lot of phrases like this. You see, I'm certain that Dr. Teller, the doctor bit comes from his PhD in anthrozoology, whatever the heck that is not only a pseudo-intellectual, but also a fraud, the type of guy who's always got a hidden agenda and the playfully cunning look in his eye as he observes me over the rim of the glass just reinforces my impression. Teller puts his drink down on the gnarly wooden table next to him, his hand shaking and shivering, and tries to make himself comfortable in the wheelchair before he speaks again. "I invited you here because I wanted to hear your story in your own words, and I know what an imposition it is for you to come all this way to see some curious old man, which is why you'll find the money I promised should already be in your account, if you'd like to check." Teller has paid me the princely sum of £1,000 to come out to his mansion in the Oxfordshire countryside and talk to him, which is actually less than the going rate. Right now, everyone who's anyone wants to interview me, and I'm a man in demand. "I'll check later," I tell him, keen to get this over with. There's a tension in this room, and I have a worrying feeling that a trap is being set for me. I need to be careful, but then I knew that before I came here, which is why I'm drinking sparkling water that I've opened myself and not the whiskey on offer. I take a drink of the water now and say, "Where do you want me to start?"